Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Feels like it's been a long time since we've done one of these.
2 weeks?
I guess it's only been 2 weeks, but it just, I feel like it's been an eventful 2 weeks, maybe. I feel like I've lived a lifetime in these 2 weeks or something.
First podcast in the porch?
Yeah, the porch sessions.
Mm-hmm. The porch sessions. People are,
the way people are going to talk about the porch sessions in 20 years.
Are you going to crack your beer?
Yeah, I am.
Take a sip?
Yeah, so I'm...
Tell me how it is.
I'm going to crack my first gluten-free beer, which is going to be my beer drinking life from now on. So 1 second, I'm going to put the thing down. Kind of a shitty pour in my haste. I was conscious of dead air, which I can edit anyways. Yeah, I'm having myself a Glutenberg
pale ale.
Pale ale. Is it a specific? No, just pale ale. All right, here goes. Okay. I can drink that. It's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Can I have a sip?
Yeah, here. Do you want to drink out of the can? Sure. Or do you want it from the frosty glass?
The can's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got...
That's not bad at all.
I got the pale ale and I got a blonde. Hoping more gluten-free beers make their way here because I have celiac disease, I found out this last week.
We're going with it, right?
I still have to get a scope to, like, I guess, make the diagnosis official, but...
I still think it's kind of baloney.
You think? You think the going for the scope is baloney? Yeah.
Like, I think you're just a liar.
I think you're full of shit.
I don't think any of this is true. No, I... because, you know what? My thinking is... So, you know, you go gluten-free. Couple of weeks. See how you feel. You're feeling better. Life is changing. Then you have to go back on gluten for a week or two to get the stupid scope, which ultimately I feel like there's not much of a point. Like the only thing I could see is, having the inside view to make sure that there's nothing else going on.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what I assume. I'll talk to my doctor about it and see what he thinks. I mean, I obviously don't want, you know, if I can get to a point where I'm like, wow, I'm feeling good now. And then all of a sudden I get the phone call saying your scope is booked for a month from now and ramping up to it 2 weeks. You got to go heavy on the gluten.
It's going to be so sucky.
Yeah. Like just like being told like you got to feel sick for the next couple weeks.
And I feel like you'll be extra sick after like having your body like already start healing and kind of detoxing from gluten instead of, you know, how you've had it continually.
Yeah.
Go back to it. It might be worse. I don't know.
That's what I'm guessing. And I mean, and it's, yeah, it's definitely been rough. This last little bit. So I've been for two doctor's appointments since the last time we did one of these and went to see a new doctor who I like. And it's good to have somebody who just goes from the assumption you're telling the truth, or not even that you're telling the truth, but goes from the assumption that yes, you're sick and we need to find out why. I feel like I've had so much experience with doctors where it's just, you kind of feel dismissed a little bit, which has really added to my distaste for going to the doctor. It can feel a little pointless. Take time off work, go sit in a fucking waiting room, go in, sit with some guy and kind of come out with nothing and kind of feel like you wasted your time and feel like you couldn't properly articulate what you've been going through, feeling like it was somehow your fault. And just seeing a doctor who's an example of how it should go is, the whole thing is a little, I mean, that part, the actual diagnosis, it's kind of vindicating a little bit, you know? But anyways, so then he sent me for blood work and urine test. Let's pause because this is going to keep going. Sorry. Our cats were fighting and I knew if I didn't do something about it, it was going to keep happening. Yeah. So anyway, so I went basically right from my first doctor's appointment to go get blood taken. And
how was that?
So I nearly passed out or barfed, which I've never, it was probably the most blood I've ever had taken.
Have you ever donated blood?
I haven't. No.
Okay.
How much do they take? So, do you know?
No.
No.
More than when you like get blood taken. I think they take a pint or two.
Okay. Because I got five.
Little vials.
Five vials. But what does that work out to?
I don't know.
Okay.
But like, it's more when you donate blood than five vials.
Well, then maybe I shouldn't do it then. Cause,
maybe not.
And I mean, it could also be because I'm just already have stomach issues and I'm somewhat like malnourished and stuff because of the celiac. That may be contributing to it. But yeah, when she was on about vial four, I just had my eyes closed and was just breathing heavy. And she's like, "You okay?" And she's like, put your head between your legs. And like was holding the back of my shirt and fanning me off to try to cool me down and called another nurse to bring me water. And so I had to get through it for one more vial. And I was feeling pretty spacey walking out of there. I'm wondering whether I should drive my car or not. It was an odd feeling. I don't really have a lot of experience with that kind of nausea. Yeah, I don't know. How you doing?
I'm just listening.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. Just listening. I don't know what would... You have to be my person to bounce off as to what's worth hearing, because I don't know.
I don't want to do too much microphone handling, so when I'm like listening, I'm trying to be calm and
okay. I find myself worrying like none of this is interesting. This is just my week. So when without
no, sorry.
It's you good. I'll be being here I'll with be me then I'm like better. Okay. Sorry. I just like I don't mean to put this on you. I just got self-conscious that I was rambling.
Yeah, so your blood work.
Yeah, anyway, so then...
Back for the results.
So at this point, the assumption is it's ulcers. My doctor said probably, however you say it, like Heliobacter, mm-hmm. whatever, like that it's a bacteria or something like that. So I'm assuming that's probably what it is. Probably going to be doing a round of antibiotics or whatever.
And in the meantime, go and take this Cadillac-level drug...
That's yeah.
a fortune and is not covered by insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. Which he gave me, which
take it for six days and then,
which sucks. It sucks that I got a prescription that he gave me just to try to alleviate the symptoms in the meantime. The symptoms being a lot of things, but the most pressing issue being like just extreme stomach pains, you know, like trying to get through my days at work and then come home and be a dad and a husband and a functioning human being, just like when all I want to do is curl up in a ball. So I appreciate that because he doesn't know until the blood work's done and stuff. So he just tried to give me the best possible option to help me out. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately that option was expensive and not covered by insurance. Mm-hmm. So I just threw away some money there, but what can you do? Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so it didn't really, like, I was taking this thing without much of effect. I went to see him on the following Monday and he asked me how I'd been doing, if I was helping at all. And I was like, well, you know, actually doesn't, not really. And he's like, okay, I'll be right in there with you. So then he comes in and he hands me a sheet of paper and he's like, I have a working theory as to what the issue probably is. And,
was it like a little bit of relief as soon as he said that, being like, there is something?
At that point, not necessarily. I mean, I guess there was a real split second before he like told me what his theory was. But I if I had to think back to the very moment of him passing me a piece of paper, it was probably more fear than anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the number one thing like in the back of my mind through all this is like cancer, you know? So... so then when he asked me if I'm familiar with celiac disease, and I said, yeah, my grandma had it. And he says, okay, there you go. So then he's like, look at these numbers. And so that show me the numbers of what kind of the normal range is, being from like 0 to 11 of these transglutaminase antibodies or whatever, being about 0 to 11 being the high end of like anything around 11, it's highly likely you have celiac. And I was at 250. So he was saying, you know, your levels are off the charts. Which, you know, is why it's likely, without even having the scope, it seems like a pretty good bet that that's what my issue is. Now, along with celiac, there's a lot of common things that come with it. Not common, but there's things that, you know, can have connections to it. Osteoporosis, bowel cancer, a few other things like that. So for the most part, I think the blood work has ruled out most of that stuff. My iron levels are good, which apparently a lot of people with celiac have really low iron. Like you said, all my levels were good. So probably not that kind of thing going on. But maybe that's why the scope can be important too, you know, beyond just being able to kind of make it official, but also to determine if there's anything else going along with it. I think I went out of there actually feeling pretty positive about it. And that changed after a little bit of time. But like, I was like...
Changed as in now you're not feeling positive about it?
Changed as in it's been a roller coaster. Like, but like I came out sort of with the idea like, all right, well, that's it. Just, you know, it sucks. I got to cut some food out of my life, but just don't eat gluten and all's well. With the more reading and stuff I've done, the more I see it's not quite that clear cut. And that there's, you know, more complications that can arise, and that, you know, it's not as simple as just don't eat bread and pasta and drink beer and you're okay. I mean, I know there's gluten. I already knew there was gluten in a lot of things. Like I say, my grandma had it, but just the extent to which, like, just the smallest amount of contact with it can cause you some real issues, which doesn't seem to be the case with everybody, but can be the case. So I don't know. It's been waves. I've had moments of real sadness and fear and isolation. I don't know. It can make you feel real alone. Like, just, it's a big change. But anyways, it is what it is. Sorry that I blast with a... yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to eat all my takeout in private. for lunches.
The food is... I mean, the food is a bummer. But it's so far is a pretty small... Like the, you know, grieving croissants is like a pretty small part of it right now for me. I will have these flashes of like, oh, I'll never have that again. Stuff like I'd never even would have, you know? Like I can think of like things I used to have a lot and then we haven't gone for forever. And I have like talked about it here and there. I'm like going for roti at Tropicus or something like that, which we used to do fairly often and haven't done it in years and years and years. And I feel like we've mentioned it a couple times. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's probably off the table. Anyways, I think that was kind of the first thing that hit me when I came out of there feeling pretty positive, where I was like, well, this sucks, but la-di-da. And now it's just kind of, I don't know, some, it's sort of hard to explain how I feel or how I felt over the last week since finding out. Anyway, sorry, I kind of cut you off. You were saying what your thoughts are around it.
I'm glad that there's an answer. I don't know. I mean, I think that I'm mostly feeling pretty optimistic that you'll feel better. And I kind of like don't know what that's going to be like. You know, like it's like a little bit exciting to think of you being better.
Working at a higher capacity.
Just like I don't know, just feeling better. Because it's just been so long. Like, yeah, like so long that things have sort of seemed, like I'll use the word easy, but I don't really know if that's like the right word.
Easy.
To just like live our normal life, you know, like easy and.
But what, sorry, I'm not quite following, like what things have seemed easy?
No, like things have not seemed easy.
Oh.
Like it's been so long since like a weekend has just seemed easy. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's always like an underlying negativity, kind of like sorrow sometimes, or exhaustion or frustration or whatever you want. Like, you know, it's different, but it's just like been like that for so long that like I'm kind of like almost like stunned thinking of things being better.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. I hope I have find myself not getting tired as easily, having a little more vitality. The one thing, or another thing that's come from it, is I feel like it's allowed me a little bit to go a little easier on myself. Mm-hmm. I think I've carried guilt around these things, around my, I don't know, around me being tired and sore and, you know, being that dark spot on every weekend or whatever. And it's, you can start to not trust yourself or like, I don't know, like, and it just, you know, it's on paper. There's a fucking reason, you know, like it's made me feel like you're not, just being a drain for the sake of being a drain. Like there's something that's been fucking with your body inside of you, you know, like like knowing how it works, like not, you know, both in the inflammation it causes and also the malabsorption of nutrients, because your intestines like aren't able to properly absorb things. So it's like, no wonder I'm getting tired. And like, I don't know. So yeah, both. I hope I see change as things turn around. But then I just appreciate like in the meantime, just being able to let myself off the hook a little bit, mm-hmm. which I think just in itself helps. Mm-hmm. As far as the eating goes, I think that's where a lot of the positivity comes from, because it's this kind of forced attentiveness and intentionality that, at least when it comes to, you know, what you put in your mouth, like forces you to be present, which I think is always a positive for mental health and just living your life in general, you know? And hopefully that can kind of transfer over to other areas of life, you know? Like, I think if you need to be aware that you're not going to accidentally put something in your mouth that's going to make you double over in pain, then you just get you got your senses turned on a little bit more to the world, which I think really, like, as far as the roller coaster of emotions, like, that's one thing. Like, I think my senses have been turned up since then. And I really do. I mean, who knows? Like, maybe there'll be days where I'll be like, well, shit, you know, like, I don't want to watch you eat a pizza or something like that. But I think for the most part, I'll be fine with that. I've had that with weed smoking. Like, I've had to, you know, like, for however long, like, I haven't been able to do it because of my job. And like,
I don't really do it around you though, because I feel too bad. And like, I feel like if we get pizza, I'll get a gluten-free crust too. But like, not like solidarity, but also because it's gonna make me feel better. Like, there's no doubt about it.
But at the same time, like, I wouldn't. I just like, I don't think I would. I wouldn't shame you or Lou into not doing it around me. Like, I think I will be fine. Like, I don't think I'll be bothered by it.
I know, but it's still different. I mean, at least with weed smoking anyways, it's different. It's different because it alters my, like, way of being, right? So if I'm all stoned and you're not, then I am just, like, hyper aware of being all stoned.
Yeah. Whereas, I mean, I feel like you just don't do it as much anymore anyways, but I definitely feel like back in the day you would do it around the house and stuff. And I mean, you know, there'd be the odd time where I'd be like, oh, I wish I could join you, but not to the point where I was like upset. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but yeah, that's all to say. Like just the other day when I was coming home late from work and you're like, well, I'm about to throw this chicken and sweet potatoes in the oven. I'd rather be ordering a pizza right now. And I said, then order a pizza. Like I honestly, in that moment I wasn't even just being like, I don't know, I wasn't being a dick. I was like 100% fine with you ordering yourself a pizza, and I would have made myself something when I got home.
Yeah, I didn't actually want a pizza. I just was tired of cooking. I just didn't want to cook. I just wanted to do something, you know?
Yeah.
We have to get back into planning our suppers because we've kind of slipped with that. And now it's going to be, I think, even more important.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not exciting. I feel like, am I quiet or are you?
I don't know. Loud? You just turned yourself down. You turned me.
Oh,
maybe you think I'm loud?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's your control.
Oh, I thought that turning this down would like turn down my.
Oh no, that's your mic.
Reception of you.
Okay.
But.
And you think I'm too well here? I mean,
you might not be. I might be like more sensitive.
I think today. I'm just closer to my microphone.
Maybe.
It's bugging you?
Not really. Just like. No, it's fine.
Okay. So, here's another thing, and then we can move on to other topics or whatever. But it's kind of a weird one. But anyways, along with the urine sample and the blood, I also had to do a, what do they call it? A fecal occult blood.
Yeah.
Is it, okay, I think we kind of talked over each other there for a second. Is it a fecal occult blood? Is that what they call it?
I've never done it.
Anyways, so it's
something like that.
They give you like three perforated cards with like a flap on them and these little areas that you have to, you know, wipe a fecal sample on for 3 consecutive days or 3 consecutive bowel movements. Which is gross. And like, it's like, this sucks. So anyways, so I do the first one. It sucks. And then I'm like, well, I should maybe bring these things with me to work. Now the stupid part is like they're perforated, so the one I'd already done I should have like ripped off and just took the 2 blank ones, but for some reason I just didn't think of that, and I like kept them all together, put it in a bag, like, and brought it with me to work, and I didn't touch it all day. It sat in the driver's seat in a bag. And then at the end of the day, I was like, I had to stop at Safeway to pick up this prescription, this expensive prescription at the pharmacy. And as I'm there, I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, I forgot this bag with the sample thing in it at work. So I'm like, I got to drive back to my work and go into the truck and grab this thing. And I was like, already just getting late. And I just wanted to be home. But I was like, all right, whatever. Drive back through traffic, get there, get in the truck. It's not there. Everything else is there where I left it. It's not there. I'm looking all over. It was a windy day, so I'm like, maybe it blew out. I'm checking all around, looking in the car, looking under the seat, tearing everything apart. And it just escalated and escalated and escalated to the point where I just had like a bit of a meltdown. And I just like, I really lost it in a way that like, I have not done often in my life. And it was just expressed itself as like anger, as rage. And it was just like, it's not a good feeling, you know, like it's like, I feel like of all the kind of the big emotions, kind of the inside out, like big five or whatever, like anger, like especially self-pitying anger can turn you into a villain quicker than anything else, you know? And, yeah. And then I was just like driving home and like just trying, it was like, just like a ball of tension of just rage at just everything piled up and just things, not just nothing working out. And getting home and just being like, hey, just cool. Like trying to breathe through it, cause I'm like, I'm going to be home soon. This has nothing to do with Reese and Luella. I don't want to bring this energy in the door. Trying to just like settle my fury. And I'm like parked outside, still not working. So I'm just like walking in the door and it just like all of a sudden the rage just turned to like sadness. And I just couldn't, yeah. And Luella was so excited to see me and I just did not know how to handle myself. I didn't know what to do. It was rough. It was a rough moment. But it just made, you know, like, I think, I mean, you know, I get angry, everybody gets angry, but like that kind of like all consuming rage, like it's just a shitty feeling. And it's a shitty feeling because like luckily, like I was alone in my car, you know, but like seeing somebody in that state, the reaction is almost never, sympathy, you know, like it's like I say, like it turns you into a villain. Like, I don't know. Didn't feel good. Was I making noises? Oh, oops. Yeah, sorry.
I wonder where the hell it went, especially because everything else was still there.
Yeah, I have no idea. I wonder
if it's going to turn up one day somewhere.
I don't know. I mean, my assumption is, I know, that's the, I think of all the things to lose, like, it's so fucking gross, like, if somebody finds it. I mean, it's not, like, you know.
The envelope says what it is. I don't think anybody mm-hmm. would open it.
Right. You know? And it's not like it's, like a log of shit in a jar. Like, it's like, you know.
It's just a little bit rubbed on there. What kind of a... What do they give you? Like a little like popsicle stick?
I was thinking about, this is a weird, very weird flashback, but just thinking about kind of the anger thing. There was, this was probably 15 years ago or something like that. I went to Sub-Zero, the ice cream shop, and it was like close to closing time. And I was there, I was in line. And it was like pretty packed, like inside it was winding all the way around up to the counter and stuff. Like there was probably, you know, 13, 14 of us in this pretty small space waiting for our ice cream. And the guy working there had like shut off the open sign. And then all of a sudden another guy came in and the guy behind the counter said like, we're closed. And he like looked at everybody and was like, you know, like, got angry about it, threw his hands up kind of, and was like, what do you mean? Like, what? And he's like, we're closed. So the guy leaves, goes out the door, and then we're all, you know, waiting, filing our way through, and a couple minutes later, or maybe a minute later, you know, the door flies open, comes in, and he's like, you don't need to give me fucking attitude, blah, blah, and just starts swearing, like, flying off the handle. And one of the other guys in line, like, says, this kid's in here, blah, blah, blah. And like the guy working there says like, get out. And like, you know, waving at him. And yeah, that thing of like somebody not being able to control their rage. And it's like, you know, so he, you know, he leaves, no ice cream, and all to all of us inside about to get her ice cream, like he's now just like the villain, you know, as we all make eye contact with each other and like
common enemy.
Yeah. And it's like just imagining what his night was leading up to that, his night after that. Playing out the different scenarios of like what might have happened, you know, like maybe he was trying to get ice cream for his kids and took forever getting them in the car, or all this shit, and it's just, you know, a million things that made him angry leading up to it, and then all of a sudden it's like no ice cream, and then he walks away. I'm probably embarrassed and still angry, and like I don't know what made me think of that, but anyways, no sign of the shit sample.
No.
Yet.
And no word about it. The one that you did end up sending in, which is good because no news is good news. I think, anyways.
Yeah, hopefully. It's been a week since I dropped it off.
You have a follow-up at all? Or
no, not
you'll
yet.
You'll just get the notification about the scope?
I guess so, yeah. And I might also probably book to go in for a Hep B shot. You were saying you wanted to talk about rituals? Or is that what you said? Rituals?
No. Traditions.
Traditions. You start on this one. I feel like I've been doing a lot of talking.
Well, it was just Easter. So it got me thinking about different traditions that I would like to make up and do with Luella. And then I was kind of thinking about stuff that I did as a kid. And I remember having Easter egg hunts. Like, my mom would hide the little eggs, like those little foil wrapped solid chocolate eggs all around the house. And that was always fun, looking for them. Christmas, we always opened one present on Christmas Eve. I think that's kind of it. Like, we weren't like super big, like, tradition people. But I don't know, just like fun things. But like, I'd like to carry over like family dinner to me is an important thing. Like, thinking about 10 years, 15 years in the future, 20 years in the future, you know, I'd like to have a weekly family dinner.
Like our extended family?
No, like us. You know, like everybody's busy and say like Lou's in university or so, you know, like just to keep a connection like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than 10, 15 years in the future though.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. I guess 15
she
years, could be,
she
right.
Could be 18.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And also like when you're 15 and 16, like you don't necessarily want to be hanging out with your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and just like, just doing things that maintain connection and have like a bit of a special meaning in like places like that. Whereas if you, I mean, because inevitably, like you kind of drift apart just with how life goes. But to always have, you know, at least something that's kind of there, always bringing you back together, even if it is, you know.
Yeah.
Not a daily.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as far as like traditions go, those are the kind of things my family had, and that's the kind of things I could see us carrying forward. My family was never one for kind of pageantry or like, you know, I say ritual, like that. I think for some people, like that does kind of come into like tradition, like, and whether it's a cultural ritual or religious or whatever, I think that's often the case. Or sometimes people are just a family of kind of extroverts and like get off on like, you know, singing songs together and that kind of stuff.
Get off on singing songs together.
But like, you know, that was never, yeah.
Same.
It was a holiday kind of stuff, like
yeah,
having dinners together. I'm trying to think like beyond that. Yeah, like it's sort of the standard stuff. Like we would do some version of an Easter egg hunt. You know, we maybe did our stockings in a slightly different way on Christmas. Or like one thing we always had was we had a big upright piano in our living room, and on Easter morning there was always these four, my grandma did ceramics, so there was these ceramic eggs she had made that had like a big ceramic egg with a Easter bunny on them that had our names on them, except they didn't have my name.
Oh, right.
Because she didn't make one for me. So there was two, I think there was two Trish ones. So I got a Trish, Trish got a Trish. And then, yeah, my other siblings both did too. But then those would always get filled with rosebuds and macaroons. The like
nice.
Nielsen or whatever is after. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I was definitely a bigger fan of the macaroons, you know, like the rosebuds mm-hmm. were just like, I'd eat like those first so that like I would then have like lots of macaroons left.
Also things like, you know, if something that you do every time you go to a place, like, you know, when you go to Gimli, it's such a tradition to go here and get this, you know, like.
Right. I guess like my family did have those kind of things. Yeah. We always stopped at McMunn Motor Inn on the way out to our cabin in Kenora and yeah. stuff like that was. We definitely had things like that. Met some stuff around like restaurants, and like I remember every like every second weekend or something for a while we were going to Paladin restaurant with my grandparents or with my grandpa, I guess. Yeah, we've had a few of those kind of like standing like meetups with family members and stuff, or stopping at certain places.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever have anything like that?
Not really, because we didn't have a ton of family. Mm. Like, my mom is an only child, and her dad died when, like, we were little, and then she was never close with her mom. And then, like, my dad didn't really... You know what's funny is that every second weekend we'd be with my dad on the Monday morning on the way to school, he would go through Burger King drive-thru, and that's what we'd get for breakfast.
Sandwich?
So good. Ham sandwich, like the old school ones. They don't even have it anymore. But that was like a Monday morning tradition after we'd spent the weekend.
Nice.
There. When we did go out with my grandma out for dinner, we would always just go to Maxime's restaurant.
Oh, okay.
French onion soup and lasagna is what I wanted.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cheesy.
Mm-hmm. Birthday dim sum with my dad, actually, and that still carries forward.
Mm-hmm.
That for our birthdays we go for dim sum.
Oh, well, and I guess with your like mom and your sister, like you guys always, I mean, the pandemic has sort of interrupted this, but you guys sort of always go out somewhere fancy for your birthdays.
Do. Yeah, birthday dinners.
It's not like it's the same place all the time, but just the fact that you always do go out for a birthday dinner mm-hmm. and that all three of you guys get together.
That's nice.
What's that?
I said it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always nice to be able to go to fancy restaurants. I'm trying to think of other things similar to that. Not as far as like I can remember, because my dad didn't come out to the cabin very much. And I definitely have a few memories of like me and him being the first ones awake and like going into town. Because he was never like really that comfortable with my mom's full like extended family and stuff, so I think he just kind of was like happy to get out of there and go into town and have coffee. So he would like, because I'd be up, me and him would go into town and go have breakfast together. I remember going to the restaurant at the big hotel by the water there.
Oh yeah,
I think it's like a Clarion now, but at that time I don't know what it would have been, but there's the restaurant up at the top. I remember going, like me and him going there for breakfast. Going to the chip truck was always like a big thing yeah. when we were out there. Here's something actually I was thinking about is we always like went blueberry picking when I would be out at the cabin in the summer. And then I can remember my mom making like blueberry pies, blueberry crisp and stuff like that. And maybe I'm just not going out at the right time, but I feel like I never see blueberries out there anymore. You know, like when I go on walks in the woods and stuff, like I don't.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just not the right time.
Maybe. Though I feel like we've gone at different times throughout the summer and stuff. And
I don't know when blueberry season is.
I'm not sure either. But it's...
Yeah. I'd like to make Like you pick strawberry things, like a tradition.
Yeah, that could be fun. I think I maybe did that when I was like a little kid, but
yeah, say it was never really a thing.
I can remember going to like the pumpkin patch thing, getting a pumpkin.
Didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to make a point of that. It'll probably be easier to start those kind of traditions once we're in a more open, pandemic-free world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, strawberry picking in the summer, I think, will happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that this year. Mm-hmm. For sure. What's been some highlights of these last 2 weeks for you?
Work's been good.
Good? Yeah? Mm-hmm. You had a few, like, mostly seemed like pretty easy like days kind of this week, eh?
Days, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like a nice schedule.
Go hit up Cafe Postal.
Yeah, I did that once. Yeah. So it's always nice. Like, it's nice to do something different and like, go to work, but then not have it be stressful, which is doesn't happen that often. It's nice, mm-hmm. You know? Done a bit of spring cleaning and rearranging, which has been good, but I think this week is going to be hard with the weather coming. It's going to be, I'm preparing for it to be a challenging week.
I just hope it's not bad driving weather. Like, that's the big thing. I haven't looked, seen what the wind is going to be like. Like, we had those days a few weeks ago when like the wind got really crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, whatever. Like, if some snow comes, like some snow comes, but I just want to be done with sketchy driving. Mm-hmm. It'll be easier to deal with if I am feeling better going into the next week, which is, it seems like every day, like I seem to be getting better and better. I mean, until my like gut is more fully healed, I think like this is it for the beer. I just kind of wanted to sample it. I thought it could be a good mm-hmm. thing on the podcast.
What's the alcohol percentage?
40. It's fuck. You got to make it strong to cover up that there's no gluten.
I like it.
I
was surprised.
Like, I'm okay with this. 5.5. Hmm. And then I think the blonde was like 4.5. I know one was like 4.5, one was 5.5.
What's the carb count?
Oh, geez, I don't know. That's you don't look at that when you're drinking a beer. 23 grams.
Oh, that's like half of what is in a beer.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's all right.
Got millet, buckwheat, corn, demerara sugar, and candy syrup.
Candy syrup?
Candy with an I.
No.
Yeah, serious. And hard over the I. No, but like it is with an I. It really is with an I. Hops and yeast. Well, I don't love the candy syrup.
With an I.
But then it says 0 grams of sugar. I don't know.
But it says demerara sugar in the ingredients.
I don't understand that.
Does it like...
It's all a lie. I don't know if I trust that there's no gluten.
Does it get... the sugar get eaten up?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well.
I don't know.
Okay, then.
Anyway, so it tastes all right. But yeah like I don't think okay. Like, you know, when I'm attempting to heal my intestines, like gluten-free or not, beer is probably not the road to that, but...
Were they more expensive?
Not really. Like, no. They're, you know, like, they're kind of, they're not cheap, but, like, they're what I would pay for, like, a Barnhammer beer or something like that, you know?
Okay.
So, this is, like, it's one of those, like, half funny, half, like, dark kind of things, but, so I finally got Audible membership so I could start listening to audiobooks again. And so this week, well, just over the last couple of days, because it's a pretty short book, I was listening to The Death of Ivan Ilyich, which is like a Tolstoy book. And it's probably one of the most just devastating books I've ever read or listened to, whatever. And it was at this point in the book where it was like the main character like acknowledging that he is dying and just like really having a crisis about it. And it's like a, just a very, very intense passage. And I've got my Bluetooth, my USB cord, like hooked up to, like with the phone to the truck stereo. And I hit a bump and the USB cord like popped out, and which caused like the radio to like come on. Like as soon as like the USB cord comes out, it switches over from like USB to like the radio. And it was just, and I had it up pretty loud so I could like hear it over the road noise. And it's just like, I'm like in the middle of like this intense, like intense passage. And, all of a sudden Livin' La Vida Loca, just like I was blasting into the truck. it was very funny. And it made me think of something. This is like, yeah. So when my dad was dying, like the days leading up, the day my dad died, like, but we had been in the hospital. I'm a little foggy on the details of like how long we were there and stuff, but I think we'd been in the hospital for a couple days now or whatever. And like, you know, friends and extended family had all come to visit and say goodbye and everything. And it's hell. Like, it's just the worst couple days of my life, you know? And at some point my sisters and I just were like, we got to go get something to eat, get some fresh air, get out of here for a minute. So we just went and we picked up some A&W and like went home to go have some supper just to like get out of the hospital for a little bit. And so we come home, and this is like pre-cell phone or anything. So the phone starts ringing. And in that moment, it's like, well, you know, what's the phone ringing about? And so I answer it, and it's Will. And like, you know, I can't even like really get a word out. And he's just immediately like just laughing his ass off, telling me about the new Jessica Simpson video. She's wearing a t-shirt that says stinky ass on it. So like my sisters are there, you know, and like they're like looking at me because, and I'm just like, and it was just very, very funny. And yeah, it's just funny, those kind of like things that interrupt. And it's like, no matter what you're going through, like the world can't hide itself to protect you from your sadness, you know, like it's like, and I think the more you try, the more you expect it to, or try to, believe it should, the worse off you're going to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. I had a nice moment at work a couple of weeks ago where I see a lot of, caregiver burnout. I feel it a lot with work, but I see it a lot. And I always, it's different not being family. You have a different perspective on things and can see, you don't have any guilt associated with, you know, the situation. And so this woman lived in the same apartment building as her mom and her mom's husband. And it just wasn't the best like living situation anymore. Her mom's dementia was really progressing, and it was just like becoming more and more work for this daughter. And because of the pandemic, like, it was limited who could help her. And she had other siblings, but there's different factors why most of the responsibility fell onto her shoulders. And she was starting to get really burnt out and resentful and like short with her mom, and then guilty about being short with her. And then, you know, that whole vicious circle. And so it was like the first time I'd met her, and she'd been like there every night and cooking supper, and, you know, I was just sort of giving her like the same kind of spiel that I've given a lot of people in the same situation of, you know, like, just like permission to not feel bad about needing to take time for herself, and what can we do so that, you know, your mom's still going to get supper and they're still going to be safe, but you don't need to come here every day and that kind of thing. And I ended up being there for a while, like talking to her. And then I saw her again, I think like maybe a week later. And then I saw her again about like a month later. And her parents were going to be moving into an assisted living place. And when I was leaving, she's just like very sincerely, she's like, you know, like, thank you. I really appreciate the time that you spent like talking to me and the things that we talked about. And, you know, I was hoping I was going to get to see you again. And I remembered like, well, she's going to be mad if I don't, you know, like whatever it was, like take time. And, yeah, anyways, it was just nice to like hear that it was directly like impactful to her, you know, like, she was just so stressed. And when you're just that stressed, like, you just can't function. And I think that it, like, you know, having an outside perspective of being like, I see this all the time, you know, like, you're not alone in this. And
yeah, it seems like you've had a few situations like that where
a lot,
where mm-hmm. like somebody has sort of recognized the or appreciated the humanity that you, and like empathy that you dealt with them with, you know, like, and it makes you kind of wonder, like, and maybe on top of that, like, not to minimize it by just saying like all you were doing was basic human decency, but maybe some special insight that you were able to bring, you know, but that it is appreciated and maybe something that they weren't getting from other nurses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, yeah, I don't
know. That was Risa farting.
No, it wasn't. No, if it was, I would be cackling right now.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, actually, I have had that a few times. Like, yeah. With that other, the lady that fell, and I showed up in the morning, and her daughter was there.
Right.
Same thing when I came back, and she's like, I was hoping I was going to see you again. And had another lady. And like, I don't know. I think maybe it's just because I'm not afraid to talk to people about things and, you know, ask questions that maybe other people don't want to ask or don't know how to ask or whatever. But I had this very cute lady that was like, I feel like I could tell you anything. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Anyways.
A therapist in there with interior decorator in your cycle of jobs.
Yeah, it's really easy though to get I've got to be in the right headspace, because yeah, it's hard otherwise. I'm like, yeah, okay, have a good night, bye.
yeah
you know,
I mean
be out of there.
I'm much more sort of socially awkward than you and stuff, but I really have had that moment with like the emotions are much lower and the stakes much lower and stuff at my job, but with like shippers and receivers and stuff who just really want to chat me up and uh-huh. tell me about their stuff. And I'm just like responding as I'm like, you know, slowly walking backwards and just trying to like one hand, like, inside the truck on the steering wheel, like, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, people who don't really understand your time, you know.
And I feel bad. I feel when that happens to me, I feel like if I am actually in a rush and have to leave, it's all the people, they're just so lonely and right. they don't see anybody else. And it's like, oh, I know you have to go, I won't keep you. And like, all like, and I've said, I'm like, I truly wish I could just sit down and like chat with you yeah. for a while, like but I can't, like, I can't. I have 12 other people I have to go see in half an hour. And, but then it's nice because like sometimes there is time, and then it's like, yeah,
I thought of two different things.
Uh-huh.
One is a very silly thing, but I wonder if the episode titles that I give these things have any influence mm-hmm. on whether or not people want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Too Meaty, not a popular episode.
Too Meaty.
It was 2 weeks ago. Or two episodes ago, episode 12.
What did we talk about?
I don't know. I don't remember. But I hadn't even looked at it, but it was just today I was looking at the Anchor. Page Anchor is the company that hosts these things. I just opened it up, and there's a real dip for that 1 week. And I'm like, I wonder what it was. I wonder if it was just people who regularly listen to it had a busy week that week and just didn't, and then just never, it somehow just got skipped, or whether there is some actual thing where the episode title or description or something like that, if people look at it and think that doesn't sound interesting or mm-hmm. what. Because there's varying levels of how much effort I put into those write-ups,
I feel like that one took a while for you to get out too.
Could be. Yeah. I really don't remember much about that episode. I don't know. I'm not sure. I just happened to notice that one because the way it's kind of laid out, as soon as you open up the website, you can kind of see that. So it just kind of caught my eye that there was this big dip for this 1 week, and it made me wonder what the reason was.
Did it go back up for the one 2 weeks ago?
The one.
Last episode.
No, not the last one. So the last one has more downloads than that one does. And then the one before that had quite a bit more. But I think that in that one, because I put something about relationship realness. So it's probably that kind of people want to hear what's going on kind of thing. One had actually more downloads than anything in a long time. So that was one thing. And then actually I thought of something when you were talking about the lasagna and the French onion soup, and I was saying cheesy, it made me think of I'm not a picky eater. Really the only thing I don't eat is cheese. Mm-hmm. And it just it really causes me a lot of grief because I don't like being difficult. I don't like feeling I'm putting anyone out, And
now you're going to be no cheese and I'm celiac.
Exactly. So watch yourself. And I mean, it's that one, gluten too. It's
then you get the assholes.
So many people have got they've got their gluten chunk that they it's hilarious. They just got to get into it. Yeah. So that's more than not being able to eat the things. It's that, or dinner parties and stuff like that. It just makes me feel like a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I think that by and large, people will be more I can not have so much gluten for a night.
Especially our friends. Our friends are, they're not those people.
Yeah.
But even in restaurants, I'm not somebody, me, I don't like substitutions and add-ons. And, when I'm ordering stuff, I hate doing that kind of thing. And to now have to be that person who's asking questions and being I know there's probably a lot of people who say they can't eat gluten, but I really can't,
I also feel there's more understanding about it though. So if you say I'm celiac, what do you guys do? I don't know.
Maybe
it's a little bit different than just is it a preference or an allergy?
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of dogs barking outside right now.
I'm worried about my throat noises and swallowing noises on this episode. I think in general, I'm the noise man.
The noise man
this week.
Yeah, the rubbing of your chin, your beard.
Sorry. I got a lot in my head this last little while, and it's just kind of.
Yeah, you're really bringing the podding energy. I'm just sitting back and letting you run with it.
It's because I'm starting to heal my gut, and my brain's starting to function again. Like I was saying, I think I was talking to you about this. I was like, well, maybe that's why. I can't remember what episode. This was probably 6 or 7 episodes ago now, where I was saying that I feel less sharp than mm-hmm. I used to. And it's like, well, maybe that's why, brain fog is a big part of it. And all these things, that's the other thing. It's the more I read about it, on top of my levels being high, but the things that are associated with canker sores, I've been getting canker sores like crazy over this last year, which I never knew. I didn't know canker sores were a celiac symptom.
I was really like, that really pointed me towards ulcers.
Mm-hmm. And then like brain fog, like that's so many people like reading on like message boards and stuff I've looked at who say like, that's the first thing that they notice when they can tell they like accidentally had some gluten or something that they can't tolerate. Cause that's the other thing is that for some people, it seems to be there's things beyond just gluten. Like some people, it ends up being all grains. Dairy is kind of a common thing. Is that they like kind of notice like brain fog, inability to finish sentences, that kind of thing.
Well, even like when I was talking to Rebecca the other day, she was saying that if that happens to Conrad, like he's like done. He's got to go sleep it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I should also, Greg, like Sheena's husband, he's celiac.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been celiac for a number of years.
Of all the times to have it, like versus when my grandma was dealing with it. And, you know, I can really just remember her eating like rice cakes and like cardboard bread. It's a much better time to be gluten free. And also just the resources, you know, like the amount I've been able to just learn in the last little while. Mm-hmm. I mean, the internet is also a dangerous place because you can, there's just like so much to scare you, you know, that like is, you know, it's such a small minority or something like that, but then it can just get, it can take on too much weight, you know, like where you can think like, oh, like that's a part of it, but it's like, no, that's one person's experience and like, who knows what else played into it kind of thing.
Right.
But overall, like I would say that the things I've looked at, like Instagram accounts and message boards and stuff, like has been more positive than anything. Positive and just like making me feel less alone and stuff. And just as far as things to try, you know, like things that are like, and even that you gotta be careful with the internet because there's like lots of snake oil stuff. But like I'm not
snake oil stuff. What does that mean?
Oh, you know, like people trying to sell you their fucking concoction that is going to heal. Yeah. You know, but
rub some essential oils on your belly and you'll be fine. What does that look for?
Tell you after. Just as far as like, it seemed like things like the glutamine, like, you know, like cross-checking it with like lots of sources, it seems like a lot of people are saying like glutamine can be helpful for healing your gut and stuff. So it's like, well, all right, well, like enough seemingly credible sources say that it's worth a shot that I'm like, I'll try that. But yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm still not in the clear yet. Today was a better day for the most part. I was tired, but I was also tired because I woke up fucking early and, you know, I just didn't get a lot of sleep. So,
I mean, you went to bed at like 10 o'clock and woke up at what, 5?
Yeah, but also woke up like in the night for a bit too. I mean, yeah, it's not like I got no sleep, but it was like,
yeah. Anyway. Still, it's early. So I'm not like trying to discredit that, but I just, yeah, I've been like, I didn't get very much sleep. Then I'm like, hang on a second. Yeah. You know? Went to bed at 9:30 and got up at 6, like for work.
Yeah, but I've had off and on stomach pains throughout the day and stuff. But overall, you know, going back 3-4 days, like much better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, you're reading. Like, was there any kind of timeline? Like, people are like, oh, you know, by a month I was feeling significantly better, or
it seems to be a mix, like. Kind of, it's like as early as 3 days after changing your diet, starting to see some improvements and stuff. And then 3 weeks seems to be sort of like a pretty general thing about like starting to kind of turn things around. And it just sort of depends. Like, it seems like in kids, like often celiac is diagnosed in like in childhood, you know? And it seems like kids respond pretty quick, you know, like if you get things turned around, you can kind of heal things quicker, and sort of the later in life you're having these symptoms and you get diagnosed, like the longer it can kind of take. And also it just depends, like I mean, I've been having this go on for a while, and I was really never like a big bread, like a big kind of gluten eater. And this year, probably like more than any other year, I've been like having that. I mean, just for whatever, for multiple reasons, like I've probably just had more gluten over the last year than most years of my adult life. And really over the last few weeks, because for a while I was almost starting to think, because I thought it was maybe ulcers, I was really trying to kind of cut down on like fat and like meat and stuff like that. So there was like, I'm never one to like get myself like a muffin or a bagel or something at work, but I was almost like a few times I did that, 'cause I'm like, maybe this will be a little gentler on my stomach, you know? So I was just like, yeah, of the choices I was making to deal with my stomach pains, like not thinking of celiac as being the option, I was making pretty poor choices, 'cause I was probably leaning into the gluten options. Which is, you know, potentially why my antibodies were so high. So it may take some time to do some repair to the damage I did. So I'm going to try to be patient and not panic. But I'm certainly not in the clear yet. And I mean, you know, I guess I'm never in the clear. I mean, in the clear from like a pain standpoint, but there's no cure. I mean, it's, you know, once it's turned on, it's there for life, unless some medical advancements change that.
I'm curious about what things are going to be like in like assisted living places and personal care homes for like our generation, with so many more food jeez Louise the cat, like, you know, so many more people are vegetarian or vegan or gluten intolerant, and that's gonna carry through like your life. But all these like assisted living places I go, it's not like they're offering a gluten-free option or a vegetarian option. So I'm sure some places do, but it's not the norm. So I just wonder about these, you know, because it would just really suck to be, you know, somebody with dementia that is celiac and they're getting fed this shit that makes them, and then they just feel sick and, you know, like, I think about that sometimes.
Right. Though, because that's kind of like would fall into like sort of an allergy kind of category, like I would think that that would be accommodated a little more easily than like, you know, something like if you're a fruitarian or something.
Yeah. I mean, I have been places where like there'll be a note saying, oh, so-and-so has this bread, and like the family brings in gluten-free bread, yeah, or whatever. But when things are made in like by mass scale in one kitchen, and I don't know. Anyway,
we should wrap this up.
Okay,
it's a long one.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm ready to.
All right, I made my way through my Glutenberg. Mm-hmm. I still got one more in the fridge.
All right.
Any final thoughts?
Nope.
This is Old Chestnuts. I'm Chad Hagen.
I'm the other one. I'm Risa.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Thanks for listening. The email address is risachad2018@gmail.com. Hit us up.
See you next time.
Get ready to get off. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My pearl, let's go out past the party lights, where we can finally be alone.